Yeah. Got Chris in the booth, got Omar too. All the lucky listeners know we do it for you. Not your common conversation, back with the new. And we speaking the truth like they need us to do. Ain't not your common conversation, not your common conversation, not your common conversation. Word is on and we on and we on.
Hello and welcome, you lucky listeners, to yet another, yet very special anniversary installment of
Not Your Common Conversation.
My name is Omar Henderson. I'm here with my partner,
Chris Downing.
And we have a guest with us,
Dominic Mendez.
And our engineer,
Brandon. I'm in here. What's up?
All right, what's up,
Brandon,
everybody?
Can you turn up, man? I need to hear that golden voice, man. They're not. I mean, I guess they're guests, but you know. They're reoccurring. Right, it's all family.
Yeah, reoccurring guests. Exactly.
Reoccurring guests. Okay.
Yeah. Rotating friends.
They come in
and out of our lives.
So here we are a year later. Starting this podcast called Not Your Common Conversation. We've done all kinds of things. We've talked about money. We've talked about sex. We've talked about rock and roll.
Oh, yeah, we
health.
Talk about sex. I forgot about that.
We talk about a whole bunch of stuff, man.
Talked about music.
Just did.
Politics. Yeah, we just did, right?
Yeah, that's...
So I'm happy and proud, man, that we made it this far.
I am, too, and looking forward to the future. I think we finally landed on our niche. We finally have we haven't perfected what we do, but, you know...
We're getting there.
Yeah, we're starting to carve something really beautiful here.
So, you know, Omar, you and I talked earlier about really this concept, guys, that we want to lay on you. It's really asking a question, like what's your concerns? And it could be, you could take that question and superimpose it on anything. Like, what's your concern about the NFL? What's your concern about money? What's your concern about what's happening in social media? What's your concern about Shannon Sharp, what's your concern? It couldn't have to be what's your concern. It could be a question that you can put on anything.
Well, let me reference that too. Okay. Let me sharpen the focus of that. So last week we began speaking about health, and our personally how it's showing up for us, Chris. Shared about what he was dealing with
some health challenges, yeah.
And then it phased over into an aspect of mental health, but in a way that all of us can actually identify with. You know, I have a friend, you know, Latif,
yeah,
who is he has a master's in crisis intervention,
yeah.
And one point years ago, he was like, you know, 75% of the people on this planet, or in this country rather, are dealing with some type of emotional and or mental obstacle. So anyway,
and it's not a sexy subject.
It's not a sexy
subject. But it's
subject.
A real subject. We it's all go subject. Through health, whether it's mental, whether it's physical.
Right, exactly. And so what Chris and I had arrived at this morning was in paying attention to our mentality, our spirituality, our physicality, all the health. There are things that we overlook, things that we dismiss that are very small. Mm-hmm. And it's the detailed things that we just, you know, I'll get to it later, or that's not that big of a deal right now. Those detailed things that we overlook, you know, in our thinking, in our being, in our health, and all of that. It's those small detailed things we just take for granted. And then it leads to something else. And, you know, I would, as an example, and I can't give a clear example, but in the thought process in communication, you know, we may excuse something, which reminds me of something else I'll get there later. We may excuse a communication, not realizing the impact of that communication. You know, we just may excuse it as, oh, it's just something that I said, or it's not that big of a deal. But over there with that other person, it was a big deal,
right.
and over there it was a big deal, and then it comes back on you eventually. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, sort of.
Like something you say to your wife or
a coworker or a friend. You know, you don't realize you're not conscious or present to the impact that it has, right? And then it comes back on you later on because of the impact that it has and so or that it had on them. Thus, it impacts you. Thus, it begins to impact all your relationships because this is a way of being that you have throughout. Not just you individually, but most of us. We don't pay attention to the small things.
Right.
To the small things.
Until it becomes big.
Until it becomes
then
big.
You know, you got to deal with it.
And when I was, one of the things that happened in my career as a healthcare professional, I remember one of the doctors saying to me, you know, as far as African-American males is concerned, they don't come and see him until it's like drastic. Right. You know,
Brandon, you're going to drop some stats on us, man, about health now that we're on this subject.
Definitely. All right.
And we don't have to stay on this, but I think it's important, man. We like for our lucky listeners to be able to listen and also with the entertainment and the discussion to get some sort of to be educated or enlightened or, you know, something they can chew on.
Yeah. Well, you know, so our question to you, the lucky listeners, and,
hey guys,
and
jump
to
in
our,
whenever you...
yeah, and to you, our illustrious guests, mm-hmm. is, you know, when you look at, you know, the things, what you go through, your daily lives and all that stuff, what detail, small detail, do you just kind of take for granted, if at all? What, you know, is it, and in any area, it could be with your car, it could be with your clothes, it could be with your home, it could be with your health, it could be with your family. And listen,
relationships.
Yeah, your relationships. And we're not trying to have a therapeutic session here, but you know, and I'll start the thing off. Mm-hmm. So I have this clicking noise in my car that's been there forever. It's been there ever since I've owned the freaking car.
Really?
Right? Yeah. I mean, from the very first time. And I just, you know, yeah, okay, it's just a clicking noise. Well, a couple years later, it's gotten so bad now that sometimes it jams up the left front wheel. Like, I'm rolling along, and it just jams and locks up.
Do you mind divulging the year and the model?
Oh, no.
Oh, okay.
No, yeah. Right. So it's an all-wheel drive vehicle, so it has a transfer case, and it has
it's a BMW. Yeah. You don't want to talk about... You don't
Sure.
What year?
2009 BMW 328 Xi. Mm-hmm. So you have a transfer case, you have a rear differential, and a front differential. Mm-hmm. All right,
and it turned into a goddamn mechanic.
It's like
show.
My cousin Vinny.
Yeah, exactly. Right.
Yeah. So I mean, you know, that's just an example of something small detail that I just kind of ignored that has blown up to something big. You know,
how has that made you feel, man? Is that this? Actually, up your whole life,
no. Right? Actually, that's a good question. How do I feel about that? I'm a little bit uncomfortable with the fact that, quite honestly, it lacks integrity towards me keeping a car pristine and in good shape because I ain't planning to drive
this car. Yeah, man, get that shit fixed, man.
To drive this car till the wheels fall off. You know, I'm not looking towards getting another car.
You're that guy.
Listen,
so
my
the wheel
is,
locks up?
Yeah. It's two times you pay for a car. Mm-hmm. When you buy it, right? And then to keep it on the road. And, you know, I feel like it's not really smart to say, oh man, this car costs so much to buy to keep it running. I'm just going to buy another one. So you go from spending $200 a month to keep your car running to spending $500 or $600 or $700 a month because you got a new car. Right. And you know where you're going to end up at the end of that, you know, financing and warranty?
Yeah.
Right back to spending $200
a month. It's a racket. The whole first of all, car check. How's everybody's cars doing? Everybody's good with
cars? Doing good right now.
You
cars
good?
Doing good right now.
I have something. I'm driving a Subaru Impreza. It's like a 2020, and the right hand passenger side door at the front is, I think it's called an attenuator. So when you hit the boop, it's not locking.
Oh, it doesn't lock. Huh.
So, like, I can arm the car, but if somebody were to go and, you know, if I was just trying to innocently walk up to it with my keys,
it would open.
Goes off. The alarm goes off.
Right.
Huh.
So, I mean, otherwise it's fine, but then I'm like, why is this happening?
Yeah, exactly.
When you guys
yeah.
were younger, were y'all the, like the car guys? Like the when y'all had like girls around, were y'all the ones pulling up? Like
I wanted to be.
Yeah,
I wanted to be,
but I think I was too practical. Like, I mean, I'm gonna have to really spend a lot, and then insurance, that sort of thing. So
yeah,
I was
right.
Like,
oh, that was, up, that was a big deal. The nigga with a car, that was a big deal.
I you know, just like your house until you recently, I just get really well. No. I got the car because really, you just dealt with the car. I can remember my first car was. Was a yellow Nissan Sentra, and I did not. First of all, I like sedans. For some reason, I like 4-door sedans. Yeah, right? Yeah. I wasn't necessarily into this. I liked admired sports cars, but I wasn't. And so I always liked the sedan. I don't know why, the practicality of it.
Yeah.
And so I can remember, man. I was like, okay, Sentra. That's what I can afford. Nissan Sentra. It was like probably a 1981 or something, 80 or something like that. And I remember it was a blue one. I really wanted that, but very similar to the color blue you have on your car right now. Like a gray, bluish,
okay.
steel kind of.
All right, yeah.
Slate or something. Yeah, and slate. I wanted that kind of color. And the guy was like, I remember going to the dealership out in, I think it was Arlington, Virginia or something. And he was like, listen, young man, this is what we got. And, and you got shitty credit or no credit. So this is what you're going to have. And I remember going, I guess this is it. This is my only opportunity. I don't want to screw it up. I guess I'm going to have the yellow submarine, right? And I had that yellow car, man. And I got used to it. Beige interior, yellow. I got used to it until I crashed it into a boat. I was driving as a boat on the side of the road, and I thought I saw somebody I thought I knew. I did. I did know, and next thing you know, I hit the boat. It snagged something grabbed onto my car. I remember it ripped. The door, the passenger door off, and it was just, it was not good,
that's
man.
Major.
It was major. It was total. It was total.
Sorry, Chris.
And I had
look at amazing. You now.
Yeah, and look at me now, right? And so I was like, damn, I remember I used to rent K cars. I don't know if you remember.
K car, Chrysler.
Very generic, ugly Chrysler.
Yeah,
Chrysler, yeah.
Shitty
the
car.
Box.
What do you mean by rent them? You mean you rent
them? I would
them
rent
out?
Them. I would rent them from the, you know, back then you could rent a car for nothing.
Yeah. Oh, gotcha.
You know, like, days. I think it was like 10 to 20 bucks a day or something. No, I would rent it for a week. It was probably like, you know, 100, I know 150 was too much. So it was cheaper than that. Anyway. I went on to answer your question about, you know, being younger and being a car person. I did. I think my first car I really liked that I got was a Audi 83 Audi 5000.
5000.
$5,000 G. You couldn't
Audi
tell.
That was the joint.
Of course.
Until they started rolling forward and killing people.
Is that what happened?
Remember that 60 Minutes piece, yo?
I didn't know that.
Yeah, for some reason. They would lurch.
After you park them.
Yes.
So what's the most money that you will spend on a car, period? Let's say you have the most money in the world. What's the most money you'll spend
on? Oh, I have the most
period?
Money in the world. I'll spend it on whatever anything. I want.
Yeah.
I buy a Bugatti.
That's not something you'll be like,
Bugatti
I ain't spending $10 million on no car. Like,
no, even I would spend $10 million.
I would probably cap out at, first of all, I'd probably get a Ferrari. Of all the cars that are out there, I'd be satisfied.
We talked about that. Why is it that, really, there's not many cars out there that hold their value. Like
Ferrari
BMW, Toyotas, like a mug.
Yep.
Yeah.
I have a 90, shout out. I got a 99 Land Cruiser with still hasn't hit 300,000 yet. I probably will because I'm getting ready to take it up to Eastern Shore this weekend. Shout out to St. Michael's.
I love St. Michael's.
Yeah, I'm going.
Okay.
He said almost 300,000.
300,000 99 Land Cruiser still rolling. I actually think Toyota, since we're talking about cars, is Omar's favorite subject. I actually think Toyota is the best car on the road for the money.
Yeah.
Porsche does hold its value.
Porsche does hold its value.
Now, I have a 2017 Tesla S model, and it is actually my favorite car I've ever gotten.
I think that's when they was doing Tesla, right? Around that time.
Yeah, yeah, I think so. I mean, listen, it is the funnest car. I had a Porsche Cayenne prior to that.
Yeah,
and
was that fun?
That was a fun car.
It's a pretty car. I've heard
the Cayenne.
Yeah,
I had no problems other than the high ass maintenance. They charge $500 for oil change.
Wow. Jeez.
They were giving me a deal. I got it at the Porsche deal in Rockville. They call themselves giving me a deal at $350. And I was like, what are you doing? You're putting oil. You're taking oil out and putting it in with a filter, right? Yeah. I don't get it. And they were like, well, they would try to make it sound complicated. And I was like, you're putting oil in, right? What kind of oil are you putting in? You putting some gold shit? You got gold chips in my shit?
What if they have to move something out of the way in the engine to get to it, which might be deliberate to
bad justify design and engineering.
Right.
I remember years ago.
Right.
I forget what year it was, but at some point with Corvette, if you wanted to change the spark plugs, you actually had to take the engine out.
Yeah.
That's the dumbest. That's dumb.
And it's expensive.
Yeah. And it's expensive. Like, aha, we got you. Bend over.
Right. Yeah. And this is a GM. So theoretically, it's not supposed to be that.
It's not right. It's right here in good old America, right? Yeah. I mean, for me, I wasn't like the car guy, but I did admire cars. To be honest, I always wanted a BMW. There was a Mercedes. It was probably like a 1975 Mercedes convertible that I wanted. This guy was going to sell it to me, and I thought it was my car, and it didn't happen, and my feelings were hurt, and I said, "Oh, fuck cars, man."
I'll mess with cars.
Yeah, I bought my 2001 Land Cruiser, Toyota Land Cruiser. 99 Land Cruiser 2001, and I had that car. I still have it, but that's the car I drove from 2001 all the way until just 5 years ago.
Gotcha.
And I was good with it.
Brandon, you gonna say something?
Yeah, I have one more question. This is to your point too, Omar, your earlier point, and this is to all of y'all. What do you think is more important, what you're saying to somebody or how you're saying it?
That's a good question. Well, you know, so that's funny because...
that's a great question.
So that's a great question, and I'll say this, what's more important? What you're saying or how you're saying it. I would dare say, I'm going to throw something on top of that. What's more important is how the person interprets it and whether or not they're capable of actually hearing what you're saying or being affected by how
but
you say
it. But that's the part we can't control. So in the that's part true. That you can right. control, yeah. right. what
Well,
you
for me, I would dare say it's how I say it.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, I would dare, because I'm thinking about myself, quite honestly, and whether or not what I'm about to say, how I would take it. The old saying, if you can't take it, don't dish it out.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? I mean, sometimes in moments of frustration, I can be pretty blunt and straight and just deadpan. But the only reason I allow myself to do that is because that has happened to me.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So it's like, okay, I survived that moment. But on the same token, what's interesting I have another question, but I'm not gonna let you guys go ahead and answer that question first.
I just, without really thinking closely about it, like too deeply, shouldn't it sort of be what you say? Like, so for example, I can tell you this truth. I can tell you the raw, right? But if you get offended by it, it's sort of like, I'm just trying to be truthful and honest. Not trying to insult you, but this is just how I see it. You know, this is how we keep ourselves from talking to people or telling people certain things. You know what I mean? Because it's like, well, if I go and tell him the way I really feel, or like I don't really like the way he does a certain thing or she does a certain thing. But people want to hear honesty, right? This is what they
say.
But like, I can be telling you straight lies just wrapped in sugar. You know what I mean?
Right.
And you receive it, you swallow it. You know what I mean?
So you point. Said it nicely, but
that's
you
right.
said,
but you said some bullshit.
Nonsense.
Yeah.
So you know what I mean? Like, how you address people is very important.
Very.
But, you know,
if you had to choose, There was a guy I worked.
It's a tough one.
I worked over at Microsoft.
Oh, I got something else to say about
it. And I remember this guy. He said, because we dealt with a guy who thought he was our boss, but he wasn't. It was funny. And he I never forget this, because he came into the room, the guy who thought he was our boss, and started just, you know, mouthing off, right? And I remember, I had just started there, and I watched the guy just ignore him, like he wasn't there. Yeah. And the guy walked out who thought he was our boss, and the dude looked at me and said, man, what did he call it? PTD, pitch, tone, and delivery. He said, pitch, tone, it's all about pitch, tone, how you come at me.
Yeah.
Because right. He asked him to do something, came at him crazy.
Yeah.
Right. It's the way he said it.
Yeah. Right.
And so he said, as long as you come at me like that, I'm just going to ignore you.
Yeah. Right.
Pitch, tone, and delivery. I never forgot
pitch,
that.
Tone, right. Delivery.
Pitch, tone, and delivery. Like, don't come at me crazy.
Yeah. Now, check this out. So when, in fact, you want to say something to somebody that can, you kind of know that it can be received in a negative way. Mm-hmm. One thing to do is turn it into a question. Right? Like, you know, say, for instance, if I didn't like the fact that you wore a purple shirt, you know, I would say, say something like, hey, man, why'd you wear purple today?
Well, that's condescending, isn't it?
No, I'm just asking.
I don't know, Louis Vuitton.
What had you choose purple today?
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, right. I see what you're saying. Like, to open it up.
Yeah, you would open it up. And so that way you don't objectify the person.
No, sure.
You know, you kind of like leave it open to like, because... I mean, really.
You can't do that too many times. After a while, it's like, well, why?
Well, no, but you can always, but it depends on where you stand. Because if you stand in the space of being curious,
sure,
then you're always going to find new questions to ask. If you stand in the space of being judgmental,
right,
then it's going to be hard to speak to that person without them getting a sense of being judged.
Sure.
Right? So you can stand in the space of curiosity and you know, this kind of reflects on the earlier question, like, what small details do we overlook? Mm-hmm. You know, so for instance, in the case of communication, you know, it's a small detail to, like, shift your context, like, right then and there, mm-hmm. how I'm going to approach this, right? That's a small detail. You have the power to do that. You know, we don't oftentimes consider that we have the power to do that. We oftentimes consider ourselves to be at the effect of our mood, the environment, whatever. And yeah. then, so we just come in guns blazing.
Yeah.
That was a dumbass thing to do.
What do you think, Brandon?
You got any? As I get older, I always believe that it's what you say, but as I get older, I'm starting to realize how much people shut down when you don't deliver it, like PTD, like pitch tone delivery, like people will just completely ignore you, shut down, you can't get anything done. So it's
if you come at him sideways.
Yeah, yeah. If you just decide to live a life being like, all right, as long as I'm telling the truth, I don't care how you feel. It's like, that doesn't really get anything done. Yeah. And I asked that question to kind of segue to, I don't know if you guys are familiar, but wide receiver Tyreek Hill just had an incident with the police.
Yeah.
Before the game. And then they were very, very aggressive on him, slammed him down to the floor, knee in his back, roughing him up, even though he just got a knee injury.
Right.
And the conversation amongst our community has been, well, y'all know we black, we can't get away with just talking to the police however we want to.
Kind of way.
Yeah. Right. So it's all like, the fact that he was all like, hey, yo, don't touch on my window like that. Why are you hitting on my window like that?
Right.
And then talking, because he's like, this is $500,000 car. Y'all know I'm Tyreek Hill. This lane is for football players. I'm going to the game. Like, there's not a threat for y'all lives or anything like that right now. So
right.
I just feel like the weight, a lot of people are saying, because he had an aggressive tone.
Right. They reacted to that.
Yeah.
They
reacted
to that. And that's a natural thing.
Yes. And I'm all like, I don't know about that, because they're here to protect and serve. So,
well, they're human beings, though.
I mean, listen, I've been pulled over by the police when I was younger. In fact, I've been arrested and thrown in jail, and I've spent as long as 2 weeks in jail.
Wow.
But I actually had, even though that was that situation.
Must have been Virginia.
Well, it was Virginia and PG County.
Yeah, okay. Oh, wow.
All right.
Back in the day, PG County, as recent as probably almost 20 years ago, I did spend a weekend in good old Commonwealth. And I can't even remember that. I'm glad you brought that up. Because all the times, I sort of neutralize the police because they'll come at you crazy. That's their thing. Yeah. I even been pulled over, went to a football game, had two beers. Mm-hmm. Police pulled me over and was like, look, went all up in the, with the flashlight all up in my car right. And then looked at me, gave him my license. And he said, how much have you had to drink? And I looked him in the eye and said, I don't drink, officer. Now I was lying, but it's the way I went about it. He was like, oh, okay. He went, checked everything, came back and said, hey, man, just be careful.
Yeah,
nice. I've defunct police all day. Yeah. Even when they threw me in jail because they had no choice because my license was suspended, right. I did something wrong.
Yeah.
I was cordial with them, and we had conversations on my way, all the way.
Yeah. Yeah.
So my experience, even being locked up, was like, yo, this dude's cool. He's cool.
Yeah.
And I identify, how was your day? Oh, man, wow, you... I find something that's commonality, and it's not sucking up.
Yeah.
It's just treating them like a human being so that they can treat me like a human being.
That was
I set the tone. Yeah. But if you set the tone crazy and be aggressive,
right.
that's you would do that at a bar. If somebody was like, "Yo, you stepped on a person's toe," and they were like, and you said, "Excuse me," and they were like, "Yo, fuck you." You'd be like, well, you leave me no choice but to say fuck you too.
Right,
like,
right,
but if you said it happens most situations, like, excuse me, my bad.
Yeah,
and they're like, bad. Okay.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And you go on. But people have to know that, man.
Wow.
Don't bring fire to fire because you're going to get more fire.
Well, yeah. And on top of that, because we are human, so what they were both present to was surviving.
Right.
That cop was surviving being told by a civilian not to put his hands on his car. So that cop was doing that. And then Tariq Hill was surviving being stopped by a police officer while being black and while he's on his way to work. So it's like this whole survival thing just comes out of nowhere. Out of our heads, I got to survive this situation. However that looks, you know, being braggadocious or arrogant or whatever, and one survival outburst triggers the other survival.
Sure,
outburst.
Sure, sure.
You know what I'm saying? And then it just becomes two people trying to survive a situation.
Yeah, and they get on each other's nerve. Next, but the what's at stake though is your life, right? Because
exactly.
one person clearly has a gun on the side of the thing,
right?
And that gun,
that's the biggest point.
Whether
right
who fires it could be fired. And it could potentially kill somebody change the outcome of your whole day.
Yeah, in that moment, they're judge and jury. Like, so
right?
They make all the decisions.
And they're human beings.
Yeah.
And so, I'm sorry, go ahead. Were you going to say something, Don?
No. Go ahead. You can finish.
Well, I was going to say, the great conversation. But remember the whole defund the police thing?
Yeah.
Yeah. So I wasn't necessarily for defunding the police. But what I am for is... utilizing those funds so that those guys are, number one, trained in firearms every week, mm-hmm. trained in hand-to-hand combat every week, mm-hmm. trained in communications, like effective communication every week, such that, because otherwise, they are scared human beings with a gun and a badge.
Yeah. Using that money for good use.
Well,
And to add to that point, I think we should have more... community policing, in the sense that the police officers are from the community that they're policing, because
great point.
Environment is a big deal. If you have all these people that's never been in this environment, they're gonna have different feelings than people who grow up in that environment towards the people in the environment. So I think that it's important for that training as well. But if you see somebody that looks just like you, like, I've never had a lot of problems in D.C. with police, because D.C. has a lot of black police officers. Like, they'll see me, they'll be like, oh, stop smoking that weed. Get out of here.
Right.
Because they got real shit going on. It's the city. So they
Right. They're like, I ain't worried about that.
Yeah, but then again, if we're in these communities and it might be somebody that might not be familiar enough with my culture, they might see me and violate me in that moment because they feel like they can. It's the only time they get. Yeah. So it's a tough one. Well,
Go ahead.
You know, blue class in 89 messed it up for everybody.
What do you mean? Whoa, wow.
Dude, I don't know if you remember, but that was in D.C. Southeast.
Yeah, yeah.
They had, I guess, some sort of hiring program, the police.
Oh, really?
Where they were targeting seniors or people who were graduating from Ballou High School.
To be police officers.
What?
Yes, community oriented, right?
Okay, yeah. I can believe that, sure.
And it didn't work out well. But you can Google that.
Why? Because the police were off the chain?
Yeah.
So I actually have this theory about white police officers, and not just white, but yeah, white police officers talk about being in these communities who are not from the community. They don't identify. I think sometimes they see a black person, and because this country has a history of racism, they don't see that black man or young man or boy or girl or young lady or woman in the same way that they see a white woman or a white man or a white boy. It's just because we've been taught.
Yeah.
Listen. I say this, and I'm, you know, unapologetically, I feel like white men historically, especially in America, and I think around the world, have taught people to not like black people, and the darker, the more it is. Even black people, they've taught us not to like black people.
Yeah.
And so, you know, so I can see it, though, at that time of adrenaline, and all this emotions going on. They've probably chased somebody down for the last half an hour, 20 minutes, 10 minutes. That you can't help as a human to be, your adrenaline is going, your heart is pumping, and then something happens, and it's like, bam, you react. You're like, whoa, dark-skinned guy, boom. My bad. He just had a cell phone. I just triggered.
Yeah.
But going back to Brandon's question, and we shouldn't have to feel that way, but I'm like, we are black men in America.
Sure.
Like Tyreek Hill, and I'm saying this as a black man to another black man, you got to know your place, you know what I mean? Meaning you are in Miami, like some Cuban officers, like look into the Overtown riots, you know what I mean? Wow. Like there's a history there.
Yeah.
And I'm not trying to broad brush.
But he's not thinking that at the time.
No, because last on his mind. He's trying to get like another baby mom. That's the farthest thing from his mind. But we live. Yeah. What did Kamala say? It's not like you just dropped out of a coconut tree one day. You know what I mean? We come from somewhere. We come from experiences and histories and everything else. Yeah. And no matter what Tyreek, how hot he thinks he is, he is a black man from Miami Gardens or wherever.
100%.
So
you got to know. Even that, listen, I'll be honest. If I was a white man and his situation that happened, I would still be like, hey, officer, what's up? How you doing? Because I do that just in general. I do that just in general as a human being. Even today, I was at the doctor's today, right? I had to go to going back to health. But see, we're bringing it back around. Call back. I was going back. I was orthopedic doctor because I've been wanting to help my health issue is this back situation I've been dealing with. That's a whole nother thing. But the first thing I do, in fact, I've been going to a lot of doctors, man. First thing I do is say, hey, how you doing? How's your day?
Yeah.
Wow. Where are you from?
Yeah.
Because I'm trying to humanize it. They'll be like, oh, wow, thanks for asking. Where are you from? Oh, I'm from this area. What school you go? So now we get into a general conversation. Like I said last episode, then they begin to look at me as someone who they can identify with and want to care about me.
Yep.
Like, oh, wow, that's the guy who came in with the purple shirt and asked me how my day was. Hey, what's up? Hey, Chris, what's up? And hey, Dr. Doc, what's up, Doc? I like those sneakers you got. People have to learn how to be more. Sometimes I'm going to say this, and I know that we have on the flip side of that, because we can say, you know, officers are, you know, mean and blah, blah, blah. Oh. On the flip side, I say to also young men who walk around with this attitude, and I feel like that started happening, it's probably as long as it started happening.
Oh, it happened. long time ago.
Long time, right? Yeah, it's always and it has this, we walk around with this attitude. And I understand on some level what because we, you know, our people have been persecuted and all kind treated real bad here. But hey, my man, on a one-to-one day-to-day basis, that ain't going to work for you.
Yeah,
like, that's all. Not going to get you to where you need to go. If you're thinking about doing something big in the world, that's either going to get you in jail or dead. Or, you know what I mean? It's not going to be an outcome. You're walking around like a time bomb.
Yep.
So guess what? At some point, if you don't explode, somebody's going to explode on you.
Exactly.
So you better chill it out. And that's not sellout. That's really being a good human being.
Right.
And to add to that point is that I think something that Tariq Hill had to understand is that it don't matter how much money you make or if you cool with the mayor or if you cool with this person and that person. Like, if a police officer want to drag you out your motherfucking car because you're a black man in a $500,000 car, they will drag your ass
they
out will. Of it.
In that like, moment, they can do that. Now, you can argue later whether you can get, you can call up Benjamin Crump and Al Sharpton later, but in the meantime, for a couple days, you're not. It's not going to be good. You're not going to have a good outcome. So,
it don't matter how much,
and it could be it could ruin your life.
Yeah.
So think for a second, make an executive decision and be like, "Hey, officer, I'm just trying to get to my game. You know what? Are you an NFL fan? You are.
Got these
check
tickets?
This out. I wasn't gonna get
I
there
got
yet.
Season tickets,
but I'm an NFL football player. I'm simply trying to get to my game. Get to my game. And if I've done anything wrong, man, I apologize. What is it that I did wrong, by the way?
Yeah.
You want to wrap up? Situation. We're gonna keep going. You get out of here, man.
Okay, no problem.
No. I
catch you guys.
This has been a great conversation, man. Sir. You've had great input, and we hate to see you go, brother.
Catch you on rebound.
Enjoy.
Yeah, enjoy, man. You're going to get that pizza.
You got to get some good food.
You're going to get that pizza. You don't want to say nothing about it. It's all right. Go and get that good pizza, brother. No. Enjoy, man. Tell us about the experience.
I'll tell you all about it.
Yep.
I'm making
Miles
water.
All right, man. Peace. Yeah. So, yeah, man. I mean.
Because it don't matter how many people that you hang out with. Like, that's what I be saying. It's like no amount of money is going to make you white. Like,
wow.
So it's like, I mean,
truth, not, man. Truth.
Now wait a minute. I'm gonna say this too, man, because
truth.
It's very easy to beat up on our white brothers and sisters. And I was saying this. I was telling somebody, because in a perfect world, we really it's not about picking sides. Really, it's about humanity. And I really, really do mean that. White people, and especially white men, have had a history of treating us bad, and not just the whole world, but part of it is, I know this is crazy to say, part of it is human nature.
Yeah.
Which humans have a history of treating humans bad on the planet. I mean, there's savages, you can go back. Didn't matter where you were. I mean, it wasn't like Africans were living perfect worlds back in the day.
Right,
we've been savages to each other. There's been dictators, you know, Idi Amin, who's been horrible to other black people.
Right.
So we have to be careful. I say this because, you know, that racism is the cancer. And anybody who's on that level is, I drop some F-bombs on you and stuff like that. But that's not going to do anything. But ultimately, we have to heal each other. We have to. This is what evolving is around is about. Like my girl said the other day, let's turn the page.
Yeah,
let's move forward. We're not going back.
So that's funny. Sorry, Brandon. He mentioned this, but I'm sincere about this because I totally believe you. Chris, like, we need to get over this race thing. And look, maybe we never will, but not to the point where it's so destructive.
Right, exactly.
So,
because that does nothing.
Right. So do you think Mr. Trump is the type of person who you put in charge who can start to help to heal those differences?
Right. Put a pin one second.
Wow.
Because I want to clear up what I'm saying. When I mean
yes.
You ain't going to be white, I just basically say that like a lot of times we really don't. When you get to those levels mm-hmm. where you got all that influence, that money, that power, right. what have you,
right.
we decide to like take that and more so make our whole world kind of like emulate kind of how a European would be out here instead of like kind of taking all that money and kind of trying to put it in your neighborhood in a certain kind of way and bring people together in a more unified front far as we're concerned. And I just be basically saying, it don't matter how many parties y'all go to, how many times y'all hang out with, this, that, and the third. Mm-hmm. When it's time for that separation, we going to go with who we look like and who we identify with more. So if you wanted to strengthen a community, I feel like you should strengthen more of a community that's kind of like you in a sense. Cause,
oh, so you're saying there should be some Oprah Winfrey hospitals and some Jay-Z universities and some Michael Jordan.
In so many words.
Yeah,
Michael Jordan. So many words.
Some Michael Jordan. Right.
Exactly. Not Michael Jordan. In so many words. Yeah, that sounds fair.
Nah, nah, nah. Them cats is like, look how... I just bought a jet. Look how these cars I got.
Yeah, because when it comes down to everybody going to their respective corners, which we'll do, human nature, to your point, is that like, what are our corners is... It doesn't look as strong as everybody else's corners. That's why when he gets pulled over, the first thing he's doing is screaming, call this whoever guy. Call Drew. Who? Call Drew. Call Drew. Call Drew.
Right,
it's like,
right.
call somebody that is has nothing to do with me or my culture to come bail me out of this situation.
Well, that's because they know if they call somebody that's black, they may get slammed too. Shit, that's why.
Well, Calais Campbell, his teammate, apparently that happened to him, right?
Oh, really? Yeah,
he showed up to try to, you know, add some reason, context, whatever. And they cuffed him at the scene.
Wow.
And, you know.
Yeah, so that doesn't work. There's
no,
a reason.
To your point, and the reason is, what you said, is that, like, is because for so many years, we've just been going with how everyone is telling us to treat us and act around us.
Like, yeah, because we've been taught that. Exactly. That's been drilled in our head. We treat each other bad. It's been drilled in our head. We
the
see
the worst.
Yeah, you tend to go with the winning team. We've been the losing team, literally the bottom. I mean, it don't matter who. It could be a new team that come in. We still. Yeah. Damn, who's that remind me of? The Washington? Okay, my bad. I'm sorry. But, you know, it's like, come on. I mean, I don't know,
that's
man.
That's the page I want to turn. I want to figure out a way to, like, well, not figure out, but I think that we're heading towards a more of a unified front, I feel like, in our community.
And I agree. But you mean just in the black community? See, I'm not. So here's the difference for me. I know we keep saying a black community. Like, I know I'm a catch some flag for this, but I don't believe it's about creating a what was the movie Black Panther,
Black Wall Street or something.
No,
Wakanda.
Wakanda. Because I just feel like that's separation. Like all we're doing is mimicking really what the oppressor did. How do we create ultimately an all-inclusive world? Because nobody's leaving. Yeah. Ain't nobody, and we have to love and respect. I know that sounds corny and make-believe, but I'm like, listen, I came up through, my early years were in Mount Pleasant, which, not that there wasn't racism, but it was very multi-culti. Yeah. You know, we had white folks, we were Jamaican, we had Latino of all kinds, all kinds, and it was. I just remember. I'm sure there was different tensions. I can remember the riots. I was very, 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 very young. We had to put a peace sign on the door so they wouldn't throw a brick. Damn. But ultimately, why do we have to pick sides when we all bleed red? Like, why are we picking sides based on what? Based on complexion? Based on the texture? Based on what? My girl said, President Harris. I'm sorry, Vice President Harris.
MVP.
Yeah, right. I want to say her name right. Kamala Harris. I want to say Kamala.
Kamabla.
I mean, like she said, we have more in common than what separates us. And we truly do. All you have to do is get on a plane and travel around the world. You will see that people that either look like you or don't look like you have something in common. And so I just think that it's naive to think that we're just all the black people gonna live over here and all the white people gonna live over there and everything is just gonna be harmony. I mean, I think that's not.
My point is more micro. My point is more like just making sure that as a community, we just have more resources to come to the
table
with.
No doubt.
Because without none of that, we're just at the beck and call of whoever has resources. And I feel like that's the point that irritates me growing up.
First of all, that's going to take money.
Exactly. And we have money. That's the thing. We make a lot of money. We just spend a lot of it on frivolous things at the end of the year.
That we don't make.
Yeah. We spend money on stupid shit. So we are putting billions and billions of dollars in a deficit that we're just spending cash. Like, we're not saving it or making it. We're more consumers than producers, and I just
no doubt.
But Brandon, I mean, I think we're spoiled being from this area.
That's true,
because we already have the germ of this in PG, right? Yeah. PG, most lucrative black county in the country.
For sure. Yep. Silver Spring is the top of
with no whole
yes.
food.
Yes. For so sure. We know, and I kind of look at Silver Spring as maybe something along the line that you're talking about, Chris. We might not own this county the way we, quote unquote, own PG.
Right.
But from what I've seen, people seem to live together well in Montgomery
County. Well, Montgomery County is one of the, if not the, it's definitely on the top as diversified areas in the United
every year,
States.
It's usually Germantown, Silver Spring, Gaithersburg, D.C., you know, as far as the most, quote unquote, diverse.
Absolutely. I think it's a mentality. I went to high school in PG County. And
Which school? Sorry.
I went to Potomac.
Oh, okay.
Potomac and Oxon Hill. Okay. Black folks was crazy. We had Southeast. Southeast was literally, Southview right was there in our backyard. Literally, when we used to get in trouble, smoke weed, we would disappear in Southeast until the D.C. police caught on. It was like, hey, y'all, I'm going to scoot y'all back over there. And we'd be caught in the middle.
Right.
But I mean, I saw a lot of, I know my PG brothers and sisters who I went to school with, who I know and love. Are going to get mad, but there's a lot of ignorant stuff, you know, going on where it's almost like the crabs in a barrel, and I don't want to see. And listen, those cats don't even dare. It's like I might as well be in New York, because they don't dare come to Montgomery County.
Yeah. No,
a lot of them, like, they stay right over there.
Yeah.
They don't venture, and that was really my problem with it growing up, coming from areas like Mount Pleasant, even at a younger age, was like, man, I'm cool with everybody. We used to have grits back then, real quick. We used to have grits, and they used to dress up like the Fonz. I don't know if y'all remember. I used to wear straight.
Yeah,
anybody know who grew up in the 70s and 80s in PG County? They were the Proctors and the Grits. The Proctors were light-skinned.
Yeah, the Swans or Proctors. Like that. The
They were the ones that, you know, they might have been some incest. It might have been Massa was up in the camp.
100% some incest.
And they, but here's the deal with the Proctors. Mad props to the Proctors. Yeah. They had land.
Yeah.
They owned land that a lot of black folks didn't own.
Yeah.
But then you had the Grits, and the Grits used to have problems with the Proctor. I guess the Grits were the white boys or white girls who were probably their fathers and grandfathers owned that land that the Proctors were on. So they had a problem. And they used to dress up, word is bond, used to dress up with straight leg pants, cuff, with Chuck Taylors, with a chain, leather jackets, wife beater, slick back hair.
Okay.
And they would,
the greasers.
Now, check it out. Your boy was cool with everybody, because your boy smoked weed, listened to, you know, Aerosmith and Pink Floyd and Led Zeppelin, and also listened to P-Funk and Lakeside and Mass Production. So I was cool on both sides. I would go over there and smoke a bong with the white boys, and then I'd be over here with the brothers smoking a joint.
Right.
It wasn't blunts back then. Because I was cool with everybody. Because I was like, yo, I can find a commonality. I don't come from that mindset of it's just me over here, it's just you over here. I'm cool with everybody. Because unless you said something dumb, and I was like, yo, it could be black or white.
Yeah.
And so I think that if we could really, and that's, again, this is not to disown the culture, the rich, amazing culture of black people, because black people truly have, listen, I know I'm going to come off of this, but when I went to the museum, African-American Museum, if anybody has been there, you start from the bottom and you see the enslavement of black people, and then you get to the top and you see the mothership connection. I go, I mean, along with everything else. I mean, you had Prince, you had everything. You know, you've got Martin Luther King, you got Malcolm X, you got all these different things in between. Why would you enslave a people who's given so much to this country, to this land? Why the need? I mean, this is, again, this is that conquering energy, this takeover energy, this, I call it the God complex, this ego where you think you have to conquer things and take over it. Yes, I understand us being savages, but I like to think in 2024, where we have AI, we have computers in our pockets, we have self-driving cars, that why can't technology seems to be evolving. Why can't we as humans evolve?
It's a great question.
I'm like, I don't need another piece of technology.
I feel like it's getting better, but around the edges.
Yeah.
You know,
big
this
young
is,
folks.
Yes. And one beef that I have with my own folks is when they say things like, when we say things like, man, things ain't really changed. You know, nothing's really changed.
Right,
I'm like,
right.
That's so untrue.
It's so untrue.
It might not have changed as fast as we all want to see it.
Yeah, change doesn't happen
fast.
My
God, 50 years ago.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's way different.
Yeah. I mean, it wasn't that long ago where we couldn't defecate in the same place.
Yeah.
Couldn't drink water. Yeah.
So had to be in a different part of the theater to watch a movie.
Yeah.
You know? So, you know, we have to acknowledge that change has happened.
Yeah.
But we're a work in progress and we got to keep at it. And circling back to what kind of a question I posed to you, Brandon, you wanted me to put a pin in it. I just feel like if we want to do this, one thing about Trump is I just don't like the nastiness. You know what I mean?
Divisive.
I don't like the nastiness,
man. It's nasty.
And all of like, it's always somebody else's a problem, sort of scapegoating people.
And it's all about him.
Look, there might be some genuine concerns, right? I mean, but this is genuine concerns as far as we've been here for a while. No one really likes change. When you start seeing new people show up and who are those people in the neighborhood or whatever, I think that's natural. But because everything changes, we got to learn how to deal with change and how to see it as a benefit, perhaps, you know what I mean? Rather than, oh, that's an enemy right there. That's somebody that I need to castigate and talk shit about and
challenge.
Look at what's going on in Springfield, Ohio, apparently, where they're eating dogs and cats. Right? But these are Haitian people, and that's close to me because one of my best friends from high school is Haitian.
Right.
And I see, man, you know, from the early 80s, Haitians have had it. First it was
they
AIDS.
Really have.
Then it's just like, whatever. Maybe you were in New York and you had Jamaican people who were at odds with you, even though, you know, we're simpatico, right?
Dominicans,
but it's like
right.
Dominicans, Jamaicans, Black Americans. At some point, they've been at their necks. They can't catch a break. And so what I didn't really understand about this Springfield, Ohio story is that it's a town that at one point, maybe at its height, was 80,000 strong because Ohio, like one of those Rust Belt, Midwestern Rust Belt states,
Bible Belt.
They've lost all of their industry because it's probably tied up in cars or like some asbestos. You know what I mean?
Right.
They don't have jobs, so that town was dying. The leadership of the town was like the same thing they did to the Jamaicans that the British did to the Jamaicans in the '50s. We need work. Come. We will host you. We will take you here.
Or in Bar Harbor, Maine.
Bar Harbor, yeah, exactly.
It's going Boot down. Bay,
you know what I mean?
Yeah.
In Springfield, they're eating the dogs, the people that came in. They're eating the cats. They're eating the pets.
Somebody sent me a photo
there.
Of a dog.
This is what's happening.
Dogs in a car driving off. Like, we out of here.
I love it, Brandon.
Are they really eating the dogs and cats?
So, look, apparently, again, this is, again, quote unquote, doing my research.
Right.
So come to find out, they asked for the Haitians to come, just like they do in Bar Harbor,
right.
Bay.
Right.
So 20,000 Haitians have live in Springfield,
migrated.
Ohio. They're a quarter of the population.
Right.
And to hear the local people tell it, I'm talking about local government and business, they love them because because of their labor, have allowed their businesses to grow and the town to thrive.
Yeah.
But This guy over there, I mean, I've seen some nasty videos. You know what I mean? Just, I don't even repeat some of the language, some of the locals, the people who were there initially.
To the Jamaicans?
About the Haitians.
Oh, the Haitians. I'm sorry.
Yeah, you know. And they're like, yeah, you know, oh, I hate them. I don't want to see them, whatever. But I'm like, your town was dying. Like, yeah. They damn near saved your town.
And you got to ask, what are you basing your hate or your dislike for them?
Right.
What is that about?
But it's the same stuff you're talking about.
Because if, let's say, somebody of European descent came in and started helping,
right,
you would probably make friends with them.
Yeah, right.
But these people, because they're dark, yep, in complexion, physically look different, maybe features, you make a cause for them to hate them. In all actuality, they're human like you. They do, they eat, they want respect, they bleed,
yep,
they want love. They want caring. They want the exact, if you strip it down, mm-hmm, they want what you want. Mm-hmm. But because you visually see them as different, you ignify yourself, mm-hmm, opposite of dignified, you ignified yourself. You bring yourself to reduce yourself to an elementary savage beast. You aren't even human. If you were evolved like technology, you would see that, hey, these people came in, gave us help. They want something, we want something, and we have a mutual partnership. There's a partnership where we have something in common. Mm-hmm. I mean, I don't get the, it's so elementary. Racism is so elementary.
But it probably stems from the same thing that got us lynched centuries ago, or,
yeah,
you know, 70 years ago, is that these guys, I guess they see their white women as the grand prize. And, you know, some smooth Haitian is going to come speaking some Creole, and then they're going to be having these half Creole babies.
Okay, so what? Then up your game. Right. You know, get your let that inspire you to get your rap on.
I don't think it's anything they can say.
Exactly. Yeah, Brandon read my mind. They can't do anything.
Who, to my white folks?
Yes.
That's bullshit. I've seen some slick ass white people.
They need to elevate, but are they going to do it?
Yeah, there's some slick white boys and some beautiful white women.
Absolutely, yeah. But are they going to put in the work? No, because they feel that their whiteness should make them more popping than this.
Right, so they're lazy.
Yes.
Another form of lazy.
Yes.
They're right. Instead of like doing the work and saying, hey, you know what? I'm not going to make excuses. I'm going to look, because if I see somebody doing the do, and they, I'm like, oh, let me check that shit out. They just inspired me to, maybe I need to put some new kicks on, or I need to get some smooth talk, or whatever it is, figure out my way to do that, or, you know, and do it my way on another woman, black, white, whoever that comes along.
Yeah.
And so, racism to me, prejudice, whatever, it gets in the way of opportunities that we could really, either side, it could be a learning, inspiring opportunity that we're missing out on. We're just taking, it's like you turn into a sucker and start complaining. That's what I hear when Trump talks. Yeah. He's always complaining. Stop crying.
He's always whining.
Oh, da da da. It's like he's the bully who calls names, hits people, and then runs on the other side.
Yeah.
Oh, they hit me. They hit me too. Shut up.
He hides the rocks.
Yeah, he hides the rock.
You know,
that's a sign of a narcissist, privileged, you know, person who happens to be white.
And what I hate is when he says, and I'm so not rah-rah gung-ho about America.
Right.
But when he constantly says, like, how this is a nation in decline, how it's just getting from bad to worse. And there's no place on this planet like America.
There's no place.
And this is, if people really drop this BS and we really just started working together, like, seriously,
yep,
America would be so much greater.
So much greater.
So much greater. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
So much greater.
It's a great country, like, your folks are immigrants.
Yeah, I'm first generation.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And we were in England, and my dad we came over in 78, but my dad in 76, he must have seen that things weren't going to really pop in England. And he said, you know what?
Wow, my uncle did the same thing. He came, moved here in 76.
Right.
Because he was like, yo, he left England.
Yep.
He felt like England was super racist.
It's super racist, but in a way that's so way. Much super racist than America is.
So I got another clip for y'all.
Is it more covert? It's something that's different.
Yeah.
So I got another clip from y'all. This is basically, everybody said this is the point in debate where Trump became unhinged because of what Kamala said right here.
People start leaving his rallies early. Woo. Out of exhaustion.
Oh,
and
yeah,
boredom.
That pissed him off.
And I will tell you, the one thing you will not hear him talk about is you. You will not hear him talk about your needs, your dreams, and your desires. And I'll tell you, I believe you deserve a president who actually puts you first. And I pledge to you that I will.
Yeah, he can't do that. He's incapable because he's a narcissist. Narcissists don't think about anything else but themselves. They think about the only closest thing they think about other than themselves is maybe their kids or their wife. They can't get off any subject other than them. Yeah. It's all about them. Sorry. Them and everything.
She said people start leaving. People don't go to her rallies. There's no reason to go. And the people that do go, she's busing them in and paying them to be there. And then showing them in a different light.
Look at this small. He's so small. It's like tit for tat. He's so small.
The biggest rallies, the most incredible rallies in the history of politics.
She baited him in.
You think that's being macho or not?
Our country is being lost. We're a failing nation.
There it is.
No, no, no. I'm going to tell you the one. Go ahead.
We are not a failing nation.
No, we are not a failing nation. I'm going to tell you the one that hit him. She said that Putin would eat you for lunch.
Wow, damn.
Yeah. Eat you for lunch,
yeah,
dude.
Yeah.
It's on and popping, I'll tell you that.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, I think that kind of...
It's on and popping.
That skinned him, man.
No,
that,
she got... She lowered him in from the time she walked over and shook his hand. Yep. And he doesn't know... See, he's lived in a bubble.
Yes.
He's been a rich white man all his entire life. The doors, everything has been wide open in his world. Mm-hmm. So he really doesn't have instinctual survival. It's all like a learned it's all learned behavior, but he doesn't have instinctual survival that is, well, maybe he does in a different way in the sense of you know,
like a cockroach.
Buildings and, you know, doing deals and being conniving and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
But I mean survival where you didn't have something and you had to do it to survive, literally to survive,
yeah,
not to survive on, you know, the 20th floor of the tower or something,
right,
but really survive because you had no choice. It was somebody, the oppressor put you in this situation.
Right.
So he just doesn't. He sees himself, and then I think he sees, like, all these little people. And he's like, oh, yeah, yeah, come with me, little people. He's like, hey, this is what I'll do for you. I just, the guy is, to me, one of the worst. I can't believe that he even got this far and was the president and is running again. It really shows, as great as we are, it shows... He's the worst of what we are.
I agree.
And we have to move past him. We've got, like my girl said, turn the page.
And let's not beat around the bush. He does represent that racist
streak
of the United States that
absolutely.
We were just talking about.
Absolutely. That old, where the forefathers, you know, created this country and said, oh, I'm going to go over there and capture these people and steal land and do the worst things ever criminal that any criminal could do.
Yeah.
Yeah, he represents that. He knows he speaks to that audience. It's sad that it's this close.
Again, it is a close race.
Again, yeah. And I'm one of those people who will say it. It's racism.
It's
this
racist.
Is why it's
thank
so
you,
close.
Dom. I tell people, even when I talk to white people, I'd be like, it's like this because it's racism. We have a racist, this country, and why shouldn't it be? It was founded on racism. Yeah. We haven't gotten that, you know, far.
You know, one of the reasons why I love Chris Rock is because he can really sum up a thought.
Yeah, he does.
So I remember when George W. Bush, right, he said, a black guy with a C plus average or whatever,
yeah.
can't be the manager of a McDonald's. A white guy with a C plus average or whatever,
President of the United States. It's true.
You know? And I think that's it in a nutshell.
Yeah.
And so how do we close that gap, that expectation gap? where that has to be racism, right? We don't want the black doctor to treat us because he might make a mistake. You know, that sort of
thing. Right, 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 right.
Which is what one of these right-wing people had said openly, just, you know, in terms of... Because the whole conversation about DEI hires, this is probably like a month ago. Oh, and that diversity was like the huge thing. And yeah, so, of course, Kamala is like this sort of DEI hire.
Right, right.
You know, accepting the fact she was an AG of California. Yeah,
we can't possibly be as good as them.
Right. Senator for 4 years or whatever. Vice president.
It's horrible. No, I had a friend tell me, Chris, I don't know about her being president. I mean, can she really go up against somebody like Putin?
Right.
And my conversation was, say that to a black woman's face,
right,
and see if you don't see if she don't handle you.
Right.
And obviously, we saw that with Trump.
Right.
We saw that she handled him. So don't. It was a woman. It happened to be a white woman. Mm-hmm. I was like, why would you say something like that?
Yeah.
That's because you're so used to seeing white men be in charge that you don't dare veer off. You can't imagine someone else doing something else because
right,
you think that it's got to look like a white man doing something because they bombarded us. They got into our heads
right,
and cheated. And it's like, you know, it's equivalent to somebody, I don't know if I can say, somebody being in line, and then the white man comes and bombards and takes over the line.
Right.
And so you don't ever want them to get in. You're doing that so they won't have the same opportunity to show you up.
Yeah.
You're afraid of being shown up. Yes, black people are going to do things differently. Any culture, if somebody from Pakistan or Salvador came here and was the president, they're going to do something different. It's not going to look like the white world. And get over it. It's okay.
Right.
Maybe you can find some. I got something to learn from white people, and white people got something to learn from me. It's a beautiful thing.
Yeah.
So y'all think on election day that people are really, because you know a lot of people talk that shit and then they get to the election
right,
and then they
be
go
like, Trump!
They be like, I yeah,
they, Trump, I'm sorry, like, my bad, you know, I couldn't help it.
Yeah, so
I'm so used to oppressor, I can't think outside of it.
Hey Brandon, I don't know if you remember this, Chris, I think it's called the Bradley effect. When Mayor Tom Bradley in Los Angeles, he was running to be the governor of California.
We talked about this.
Yeah.
Exactly. What's the Bradley
effect?
I never heard of it.
So Tom Bradley was the mayor of Los Angeles, I want to say like the late 70s.
Yeah.
I believe he was running for governor.
Yeah.
And I think
78, 79.
On election day or something, up to election day, I mean, he had probably like a 10-point lead in the polls. Keep in mind, this is late 70s.
That's a big lead.
And he sure enough lost by the end of the night, maybe by like a couple of points. So what you're talking about, Brandon, is
it could happen.
You know, people say because you want your bigger self to be projected to somebody who's asking you, who are you going to vote for?
Yeah.
But then your smaller, you know.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, that's happened a lot. Because
I'll tell you one thing, and this might not be politically correct, but saying in a public, especially in a D.C., Maryland, Virginia area, saying
you
that you're
going to
do
Trump
anything other than vote for
Kamala.
It's going to scare the hoes. Like, you're going to be out at a bar. Oh, you're going to talk all that shit, right?
You can't say, no.
You're going to be sitting in the corner of the bar by your goddamn self.
Yeah, they'd be like, no, especially a black woman.
You ain't getting no ass.
Yeah, you can't talk bad about a black woman in general. Because black women don't, that's a whole nother
subject.
They don't take,
you ain't even got to say nothing. You can say, I love
Kamala. They're going to bring the drama.
You can say, I love Kamala, but I just want to vote for this guy. You can say whatever you want. You don't even have to talk bad about it. Just saying that you're going to do anything other than vote for the Democratic candidate in this particular instance is scaring us.
In this area, absolutely. Yeah, we don't. This is a blue. We are blue. We are blue
in
this joint.
We love this region because of that blueness.
We tend to be a little more progressive thinking.
Yeah, exactly. We don't roll up to somebody and say, "Hey, are you a liberal? Are you a Democrat?"
Yeah, we don't.
Okay, now we can talk. No, it's the tone that. Come on, man.
Absolutely.
I mean, I'm looking at Northern Virginia. Northern Virginia has changed like the last three or four cycles.
It sure
where
has.
It used to be, my joke about Virginia, you get busted over 85, you going to need to get that lawyer.
No, I happen to me.
Because
it's a criminal offense.
Because
throw your ass in
our
jail.
Neighbor is back then, especially, was a law and order state.
That's right.
You know, back then,
that's right.
Texas and Virginia led the nation in Commonwealth. Capital punishment.
That's
you
right.
You know what I mean? And
they death would penalty. Lock you. I spent a weekend in jail.
Right. So my boy did.
For going a little bit over the 80. They put my, I was like, are you serious? Right. I thought that I could just pay the ticket. They were like, no.
Right.
Go get a lawyer because you could end up in jail this week. I was like, huh? I got to go to work. I thought I was going to pay the ticket and go to work. They were like, no. It's crazy.
But then look at the irony of it, right? Virginia is a place where interracial marriage was codified, was made
legal.
That's
right. That's right.
You know what I mean?
Damn, so I didn't even know that.
We have the Lovings. Lovings. Was it 57 or something like that?
When the couple?
Yes, that's the name of the couple. It's the
Lovings. Were they in Virginia?
They were in Virginia. Yeah, Lovings. It wouldn't matter. They made a movie about Virginia. It was like sort of going down before you reach 64 or something like that, you know? Okay.
Facts.
As you're saying, man, we have people who want to rise above in this country, man.
Oh, definitely, definitely. Thank God we do. But we also have people that just want to be ignorant and keep things the way they were when we couldn't defecate and couldn't, they love that. They're like, oh, they feel special, especially if you're a white person who's not doing well, you in somewhere in some rural area in Mississippi or Georgia somewhere, you're looking to blame. You don't want to look at yourself. People don't want to look at themselves in the mirror and say, yo, you know what? I mean, maybe if you didn't drink or do, you know, fentanyl or crystal meth so much, you could get your life together. You wouldn't have to blame the black person that's coming down the street that's doing all right. You could look at yourself. I mean, you know what I mean? It's nobody's fault. I certainly don't blame white people for any problems that I got other than, you know, them treating my ancestors like shit.
All right, so I got one more question.
Yes, sir.
Before we wrap it up. This is going to be a tough one. I'm going to start doing tough questions on here. All right. So this is the question to both of y'all. Why should we be concerned about the welfare of future generations?
Oh, wow. Well, that's a good question. Well, you have children.
Yeah, I think that's kind of a philosophical one, right? Like, meaning...
We ain't going to be here, so...
Exactly. We're not going to be here forever. It's very easy if you have kids, progeny or whatever. Like, I want a better world for my kids. You don't have to have kids to feel that way.
I don't have kids, and I feel that way.
You don't have to
have kids. I
want to
leave the world better than I, you know,
like
got here.
Like a campsite, right?
Yeah.
It's better than when you got there.
Yeah, I want humanity to live on.
Yeah. You know, here's the deal. I would feel empty if, you know, this burning that we have inside of us to see things improve.
Right.
Like, I don't know. I'm not going to say I would kill myself tomorrow if I didn't have this reason to believe in something. But, yeah, I trudge along each day in some cases with that hope of it's going to be better. Think about 100 years 100%. Ago what our people had to go through.
Yeah.
And so, like, 100 years later, it's a little easier. Yeah. Can we make it better?
Better than
like
this.
50 years later? A little easier?
So let me expound a question. This is for me now.
Yep.
So if today you knew that everyone in this room, if we sacrificed ourselves right now, that the world would be a better place and we could guarantee it, would you do it?
Would I sacrifice myself for the
greater good?
For the greater good.
If you knew that in the next however 10, 20 years, whatever, you know for a fact that the world will be a better place. If you sacrifice yourself at this moment, that means you can't live the rest of your life. You have to do it right now since you want the world to be a better place.
I mean, I have to say yes, right?
Right, yeah.
You don't have to say yes.
No, I mean, what I want to know.
No, hell no.
You know what I mean?
But
I'm
thinking
right now, I got my boys,
yeah,
my wife.
Yeah,
you know what
you're
going
to sacrifice.
Let's just say literally, it was like, you're not going to be able to say, the last person I can say anything to was you two.
Right.
Yeah.
Be like, well.
I'm on the cross.
We did it, man.
We did it.
If, nah, I respect that. Yeah,
I mean, I had a great life. It's been good. I got to see some cool stuff. Do I have a few regrets? A few, but I had more positives way more outweigh the negatives.
Yeah.
Nah, I mean, I was just trying to make sure y'all really care about the future.
Yeah,
man,
for sure. I was thinking about it. I was thinking about it, but I was like, damn. I mean, I like Lito's pizza.
Weed is cool.
Weed is good. It's like, damn, forever.
But you know what, B? That's a great question.
Absolutely would.
Brandon, that's a great question, because think about those stories of sacrifice that you hear from other people. Yep. And you're
they
like,
did
they even really think about this?
Yep. Yeah.
You know
that's
what I mean?
Your ancestors did. Yeah. All of our ancestors went through it, man. It used to get dark
go
outside.
Through it.
When the sun went down, they ain't used to know what the hell was
going
on.
But the only difference is they got their ass kicked on a regular.
Yeah. Right.
For no reason. We get to go and watch Thursday Night Football.
That's right.
Yeah. I mean, we really
get to set our fantasy lineup, Brandon.
To your point, Dom, we really have come a long way.
We have.
I mean, come on now.
Yeah.
We got.
And still going.
We got Netflix. Yeah. We got Hulu.
Yeah.
We got Peacock.
Electric
we got Amazon
cars.
Electric cars. Good food.
But that's why it's important to
technology.
Continue to push yourself as a man, because the world is almost too comfortable that you'll just turn into a fucking
No, that's a good point.
Or, you know what I mean? We talk about this sometimes when you see these Hollywood stars and they drug addled and everything. And we always say, like, how could you be so depressed? You know what I mean?
Right. How could you?
And I think some of that is because those folks, you get to a certain level, what more do I have to do?
Right.
So then you don't have anything else to do. And then negative forces enter your world in form of drugs a lot of times.
Internet, you get social media, you start looking.
So I agree about keeping pushing, man. Otherwise, you find yourself in that like status quo where everything is perfect, quote unquote.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing.
That's much why as, Chris be in that gym every day. You
I try, man. I try, man. I try to even, you know, I was telling my orthopedic doctor today, it was second opinion. Mm-hmm. Also did some Rothing today. I don't know if anybody, shout out to the Rothers out there. Mm-hmm. You got to keep trying, to your point. You have to keep trying. Yeah. Life to me is full of learning. And so when you do, here's the thing, when you get all that money and all that fame, to much is given, much is required. There's a price. You can't just get that and just expect that, I got this and nothing. No, right. you got that. And so now the burden is kind of on you, and you don't have to look at it as a burden. You can look at it as a challenge, opportunities to create and give back. Constantly give back, creating to give back to, I mean, of course, your family, but also people, the world abroad, because you've been afforded that opportunity.
Right.
And so you can't just sit there and sit on your laurels and just be like, yeah, I got all that.
Yep.
Because now you just, there's all kinds of words for it. But yeah, I think that we are put on this earth, regardless of where you are in your life, to learn lessons, to spread love, to be inspired, to give, all those things that we see in, sacred books, whether it's the Bhagavad Gita or the Bible or the Torah or the Quran. And here's the other thing too, here's another thing that people aren't. I think all these sacred writings. I call them sacred writings, or these writings, biblical writings, that were thousands and thousands of years ago. I mean, things have evolved. So everything doesn't, and I'm not trying to say you completely revamp it, but you got to know what applied thousands of years ago may not apply in the exact same way.
Right.
Or you have to really... put it on to apply it to the world as it is today. It's not going to work exactly. If they said, hey, thou should not treat horses bad, when you ride them. Well, we're not riding horses now.
Yeah.
The technology has changed.
Yep.
And so, I think people get caught up in tradition and things like that, and semantics and all that kind of stuff. And it doesn't necessarily work. God has given us intellect, will, And so we have to use it in given the circumstances that we have. You know, things don't necessarily apply the same way that our ancestors had to deal with 100 years ago or 200 years ago. We are privileged. We're the offsprings of something of their works.
Yeah.
So we can do. I probably waste too much time, squandering too much time, but also try to help and do things and advance myself and where I can. And yeah. We live longer now. Yeah. We're living longer. Even though the food is processed and got all kinds of chemicals and stuff like that, you can't ignore the fact that. And a lot of people say, "Oh wow, you know, man, it's all natural. We had all natural back then." Yeah, that's great. But you know, there are other factors in, you know, people having stress, you know, because they know that, you know, they were going to get punished because they didn't do something or, you know, what have you. So anyway, guys, we have really had a great discussion today.
Great talk.
I think it's a good time to wrap it up. Any burning desires, anything anybody want to, you know, get off their chest before we...
Nah, okay. It was a great conversation.
Yeah. Great conversation, man.
It got a lot more philosophical than I expected, and I like it.
Yeah, that's really what Omar and I, as we come up on this year, Brandon's been there from the very beginning, we come up on this year. That's what Omar and I intended when we called it Not Your Common Conversation. We just didn't want to talk about things, not that we wouldn't be talking about the same subject matters, but it's how we're going about it,
right.
How we're choosing to, you know, add some, you know, enlightening or enlightenment or philosophical, as you just said. We wanted to really have approach the same topic in a different way,
yep.
Possibly. So, yeah, yep. It's right on point. So I'm just glad, Dom, you could join us, man. We've known each other a long time, probably. More than anybody on the show, and I've always admired you, man. You're we always say that me and Reggie, how funny. It's like, Tom is so funny, man.
Oh my gosh. Thank you.
And in a good way, like your smart humor. That's just funny. Anyway, man, thank you, lucky listeners, for once again, you know,
congrats
joining
again,
us.
Man. Congrats.
Yeah, I mean, on the show?
A 4 year,
oh,
yeah.
Thank you, man. Yes, we got sir. To, we, you know, we were like, you know, how are we going to do this? You know, I always wanted to do a podcast, man. And so we've been keeping it going thanks to Brandon and Omar. Omar's
thanks,
probably
Brandon.
Enjoying a slice
Great
of
job,
pizza
man.
Right now.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Yeah, man. So
Just getting started,
man. So, folks, stay tuned. We're going to give you some more of this. Hopefully you get something from it. And thank you for joining us once again for Not Your Common Conversation.
And we out.